तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोविष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदानीयं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देऽहं श्री गुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां सागरजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनार्थितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा
the reality
extended concept of this false ego. Somebody may be saying that, oh, India is my country, I'm serving India, I will do well, sacrifice my own life for India. Will he do that for some other country? He does it only for India because he is born in India, right? Because I am born in this country, so I have attachment to this country. So actually the attachment is to his own self, right? He is satisfying his own ego. A man derives great egoistic pleasure by seeing himself as the selfless well-wisher of his country or family, right? He is doing for his own pleasure, basically. It's just an expanded concept of one's own false ego. I am deriving so much pleasure, I am deriving so much satisfaction, I am getting so much happiness by doing this apparently selfless act of sacrificing my own resources or time or life even for others or for the country. Right? So this Bhagavan explains that it is this apparently contradictory behavior is yet another demonstration of the bewilderment of material life, and especially it's a manifestation of the gross ignorance of the non-material soul. Many say that it's my own self, right? We are saying that person is self-centered, or even if he is working for others, he is still conscious of his own self. Just because they are connected to his own self, there he is working. But not many, they are working for themselves, they are working for people who are connected to themselves, but not many know what is this self. Right? Not many are aware that what actually is this self. There are so many misconceptions about one's own self, right? And the popular misconception is people equate their self with the body. They identify themselves as body, right? Especially this happens in the young age. In the young age, when the senses are very strong, people are quite healthy, so they have a lot of strength to do so many things, they have so much passion to accomplish so many tasks, right? In that age, this identification with one's own body is quite strong, right? So, and it is manifested especially in the young people, college students or something like that. So, it's manifested in their taking care of their bodies so nicely, going to beauty parlors, or just changing hairstyles, or using different kinds of perfumes, or fashionable dresses, trying to attract the opposite sex. So, it's all centered around their body because they're identifying themselves with the body. So this happens, and they are seeking bodily pleasure, right? Whether it be satisfying any of the senses. So the current section is also speaking about different senses, right? Any of the senses, they may be satisfying their eyes by going to movies, by their tongue by, you know, eating so much palatable stuff. So because of their identification with their own body, all their activities are mostly in general centered around their body. Now because they are identifying themselves with the body, Bhagavan explains in the 10th canto that one is more attached to his own body than the possessions of the body. Right? One is more attached to his own self, and he is identifying his own self with the body. So one is more attached to his own body than things that are connected to the body. The possessions of the body, like wealth or some property or some car or whatever, he has possessions. Or even bodily relations, right? So many relatives, friends, or many people like that. So this aham bhavanti conception is there, but this I-ness is more prominent than minus. People are attached more to I, his own self, than his things. Okay, I-ness is more prominent than minus, right? So this their attachment is more to their own selves, and the secondary attachment is things connected to the body, right? So we see the purpose, the disciples of his holiness, his grace, his divine grace, some Kiran subconsciously or what to say, theoretically, they'll understand that I think I'm not this body, right? I still have an opportunity to get a better body. You know, 10 years back or 20 years back or 30 years back, I had a better body. But now this body is becoming very weak and old, white hairs are coming or whatever. So they'll understand that I'm not this body.
Creation of moving and non-moving entities continues to exist.
non-moving entities and moving and non-moving possessions also, right? Just because one is so dear to one's own self, one's own soul, he loves his own soul so much, that's where his whole existence is going on in the material existence, right? He's just involving in so many activities just because of his dearness to the self, right? But, and another thing, Prabhupada writes that moving possessions such as one's family and pets and non-moving possessions such as one's house and household paraphernalia become dear to the person because he is dear to his own self, right? So everyone's Atma is very dear to all living entities, for all people who have accepted some material bodies. But we should put a question, why one's own self is very dear to him? Right? What is the reason for the dearness of one's own soul to one's own self? Why do we love ourselves more than anything else in the material world? Right? And why, because of this dearness to the self, so many, we are getting connected to so many objects, body or some different people or different societies or whatever. Some dearness to self. So why myself is so dear to me? The answer to the question is, Atma is a part and parcel of Krishna. Just because this soul is connected to Krishna, it can be so dear to ourselves. Mama eva amsho jiva loke, mama eva amsho jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatanaha. Krishna says, every living entity is my own part and parcel. Right? Just because of the connection with Krishna, everyone becomes so dear to his own self. Right? And if we carefully identify, it's because of the relationship with Krishna that makes one attractive. Right? We are attracted to our own self only because we are connected to Krishna. Only problem is, some people, devotees are aware of this fact. Some people who are not practicing devotional service are not aware of this fact. They simply love things of this material world, but they don't understand why they are loving so many things. Right? And in this context we can say, just we are dear to our own selves because we are connected to Krishna. So the actual dearness is to Krishna. Krishna is the dearmost object of every living entity. Whether we agree it or not, whether we act upon it or not, whether we realize it or not, whether our actions are happening with this understanding or not, Krishna is the dearmost object of every living entity. Right? Because Krishna is dear, his part and parcel, the soul becomes dear. Right? Because the body is living within the soul is living within the body, body becomes dear. And because so many people and so many objects are connected to the body, they become dear. The original source is Krishna. Because Krishna is dear to me, everything is connected to him, that's why things become dear for me. Or I become dear to myself. Another thing. Krishna is most dear object to all living entities. And we are most dear to Krishna also. Right? Krishna is our supreme most well-wisher. In whichever life the living entity may go in, Krishna is always accompanying. No, this body will not come wherever we go. This bodily relationships will not come wherever we go. But Krishna comes wherever we go. So Krishna is the dearmost object of every living entity, and Krishna loves every living entity the most. The maximum, the most, you know, the supreme most well-wisher of every living entity is Krishna. Right? So he wants us to come back to God. Right? And he is our ever well-wisher. As yesterday with David we were discussing, how Krishna descends to this material world just to attract our hearts and take all of us to go back to Godhead. Nobody will endeavor so much to reclaim the fallen conditioned souls back to Godhead since time immemorial, after so many repeated failures in his attempts. Right? So Krishna is very dear to every living entity, whether he knows it or not, just because he forgets for some time. And but Krishna doesn't forget that relationship, so he is conscious and he comes down. Right? Sarvasya cha aham vidhi sannivishto, vishvara sarva bhutanam, based purport. Knowledge of the self can expand to the knowledge of phenomena, but physical knowledge cannot lead to the knowledge of the self. This knowledge of the self, what is it? Knowledge of one's own self, knowledge of the supreme self, Krishna, right? And the relationship between this soul and Krishna, this knowledge of the self can expand to the knowledge of the phenomena. Then, if we understand this relationship, Krishna's relationship with all the living entities, Krishna's relationship with all the objects in this material world, if we understand this, then we'll understand everything as they are. But the physical knowledge cannot lead to the knowledge of the self. But if we understand so many objects of this material world, if we just develop relationship with so many people of this material world, they will not eventually lead us to Krishna. There is this Aroha Pantha and Avaroha Pantha, right? Ascending process and descending process. Right? Mere knowledge of things in material world cannot lead to the knowledge of the self. That's what the point Prabhupada is making in this purport. Right? But materialist wants to understand everything by Aroha Pantha. The last chapter that Prabhupada personally translated, the 13th chapter of 10th canto, so Prabhupada is making all these points. Right? Aroha Pantha. By argument and reason, one cannot understand the transcendental matters. One has to accept things as they are. Right? Our Avaroha Pantha is the process of descending knowledge. It comes through parampara. In the parampara system, from the source of Vedic literatures or scriptures, if we learn the knowledge of the self, then the knowledge of other things is revealed to us. Right? Then we can see different objects of this material world in proper perspective. If we try to figure out what is this thing, it will take ages and one may not be able to come to a conclusion at all. That is Aroha Pantha and Avaroha Pantha. And the parampara is that parampara which is connected to Krishna. Not everyone can start a parampara. Parampara should be connected to Krishna. The best parampara is that which extends from Krishna. Evam parampara praptam. Right? What Krishna says, we should accept. Imam Rajeshri Yogi Prabhupada writes. Now, Brahmaji, first verse of Bhagavatam says, Tene Brahma Hridaye Adikavya Punyanti Swaryaham. The knowledge of the scriptures is revealed to Brahmaji within the heart, with the Supreme Lord personally. Right? So he is getting knowledge of Krishna from Krishna. Right? So he is following this Avaroha Pantha. But in the Brahma Vimohan Leela, we will see, just because Krishna is just involving in some child-like activities, childish plays with all the small gopas in the Vraja. So Brahmaji got little doubt and he wanted to understand Krishna's mystic power by his own limited conceivable power, and therefore he himself was thoroughly bewildered and mystified. There he employed this Aroha Pantha. And he was employing this Avaroha Pantha, then he got the knowledge. Right? But when he followed this Aroha Pantha to understand Krishna with his own limited knowledge, let me test whether he is Supreme Lord or not. He just stole all the calves, he stole all the gopas and then hide somewhere. But because he is playing with Krishna, he couldn't stay for long. Just the moment he came back, it became 1 year here. And everything is happening as they are. Right? Krishna is playing with the kids and Krishna is playing with the calves and all the gopas and gopis were having good reciprocations with their own children. Actually Krishna, right? So basically this mentality is there. Everyone wants to take pleasure in his own knowledge. I know something. Let me figure out how things are happening. But not many are humble enough to accept knowledge as it is from the scriptures or some proper bona fide parampara. Right? So one needs to basically recognize the connection between Krishna and different objects. Right? As we discussed, we love objects because they are part and parcel of Krishna. The soul is part and parcel of Krishna. Right? Now, we love the body because it is connected to us. So the reality there is that we love anything in this material world because it has a connection with Krishna. Right? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Rajita Shloki 10.8, Aham Sarvasya Prabhu Matva Sarvam Pravartate. Everything is emanating from me. Whether it it is living entities or this material energy or the trees or whatever environment, whatever we see is emanation from Krishna. It is Krishna's energy. An advanced devotee recognizes the connection between every object in this world with Krishna and acts on that plan. Right? But the misfortune of the living entity is, he loves everyone. He loves so many objects of this material world, but he doesn't realize their connection with Krishna. That is the difference. Right? A devotee also deals with different things, different people or different objects of this material world. And an ordinary materialist also can deal so, but devotee deals it with an understanding that it is connected to Krishna, and non-devotee doesn't have this understanding. Right? So he forgets his own one thing. Then unfortunate conditioned soul forgets his own connection with Krishna. What to speak of seeing the connection with this mind with Krishna or any other object of this material world with Krishna? He forgets his own connection with Krishna. But a devotee realizes his own connection with Krishna and he doesn't stop there. He realizes his connection with Krishna's connection with every object of this material world. Right? So, and like we have this example of bird and cage, you know, that lady who took care of the cage so nicely, but he forgot the bird. Right? So, basically the idea is, I am taking care of the cage just because there is a bird in it. I am taking care of this body, or I am taking care of so many objects connected to this body just because soul is there in it, and the soul has connection with Krishna. Right? So, one must basically redirect his attraction to Krishna. That's what Prabhupada is saying here. So, this vision is given by a pure devotee. How do we understand that everything is connected to Krishna? When a pure devotee explains based on the Vedic literatures, then we'll understand. Right? We can't figure out on our own. That's what we discussed, that Aroha and Avaroha. Right? So because they themselves have that vision, they can give us their vision. Right? So they understand that Krishna as he is. Somewhere in 10th canto this verse comes. They see all things, whether stationary or moving, as manifest forms of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such enlightened persons recognize no reality apart from Krishna. Right? Every object in this material world has a connection with Krishna. It is Krishna's energy. So they understood this. Right? So everything exists within Krishna and Krishna exists within everything. So Brahmaji prayers, right? Everything is within you. Yashodamayi sa, all the universes within your mouth, right? And in one of those universes, you are still seen here also. Everything is within you, and simultaneously, you are within everything also. So a pure devotee recognizes this connection of Krishna with everything, right? So still, the order of progression is always from the energetic to the expanded energy. This is the order. Because it is connected to Krishna, it becomes dear to me. So, the root connection is Krishna. The dearness of every soul is Krishna. The order is energetic first, then comes the energy. Right? Krishna is the original identity from whom all other identities emanate. Just every object should be recognized in connection with Krishna. That is its original identity. Then comes all other identities. First, we are part and parcels of Krishna. That is our first identity. Then comes, you know, we are son of so-and-so, we are brahmachari in so-and-so ashram, or we are this, we are that, naham, protas, so many things are there. First connection is, I am servant of Krishna, I am part and parcel of Krishna. That is the original identity. And all other identities emanate from that. These are temporary identities. So, a pure devotee recognizes the primary identity of every object of this material world, every person in this material world. And then he acts on that plan. Right? So, he is the supreme energetic from whom all categories of dimensions of energy become manifest. So, basically the personal body, self, family, friends, nation, planet, universe, Krishna is certainly the supreme object of our love, right, and attraction. And other objects, they are secondary objects. They are supposed to be secondary objects. But in our conditioned state, the secondary objects of attraction becomes the primary, and we just completely forget about our about the primary object of our love and attraction. So, like that. The conclusion is the dearmost object of every living entity, whether we understand it or not, is Krishna. Right? Like that. So, now, let's see some example. Right? We love everything in this world because only it is connected with Krishna. Right? And because Krishna is dear to us, we are loving other things. So, let's see the example of few devotees acted on this platform. The 10th canto describes about different prajavasis. I was having a doubt, I was sharing with some of these devotees. Earlier I used to think, what is so glorious about prajavasis? What is glorious about Yashodamai? Or what is the glory of the Gopas or Nanda Maharaj? Because they had an opportunity to be the mother or father or friend of Krishna. Just for argument's sake, if some other lady got the opportunity to become mother of Krishna, she would have loved Krishna the way Yashodamai is loved. Or if Yashodamai had got the opportunity to, or if some other living entity becomes the son of Yashodamai, she would have loved that person also in a similar way. I used to feel like this. Right? So just because they got an opportunity to have a relationship directly with Krishna, they became glorious, but this could happen in others also. We didn't get that opportunity. We must think like that. So I was thinking like that. But if you carefully observe, that loving Krishna more than anything else is not that cheap. It's not available, it's not accessible and available so freely for every living entity. One may say, if I get an opportunity to play with Krishna in the Vrindavan forest, I will also play like that. They are playing with Krishna, I will also play. They are fighting with Krishna, I will also fight. What if you see? They got an opportunity, I was not given a chance. Otherwise, I would have done so. One may think like that. But as Isvarana Sradhana Samara was explaining last to last Saturday, right? Loving Krishna more than one's own self requires the removal of all our designations. The 21st chapter he was giving a class, right? All our egoistic ideas, all the impressions that we are forming and carrying since time immemorial for so many lifetimes, millions of lifetimes. You have to remove all that, all the stand naked in front of Krishna means, I mean, no other priority in life except Krishna. To act on that platform is not such a cheap thing. One can't play with Krishna like the Gopas are doing, one can't love Krishna like Yashodamai is doing. It's not that cheap. They have absolutely no priority in their lives other than loving Krishna. They love Krishna more than their own selves. As we discussed till now, the theory, but that Krishna is the dearmost object of every living entity, whether one understands it or not. He is the example of some devotees who understood, realized, and every action of these devotees is completely with this understanding, with this realization. They are acting on the platform. Right? We see, the Maharaj was explaining this Dvijapatni Lila. Last Sunday, right? Gopas asked Krishna and Balram for food. It's not for their own sense gratification. They wanted Krishna and Balram to eat some food. But if you say Krishna and Balram will use something, they will not accept. But if they say that we are hungry, then they will come. That's what we discuss now. That Krishna is the dearmost object of every living entity. So here Gopa, for Gopas, Krishna is the dearmost object. He wanted them to, they wanted Krishna to eat. Now Krishna loves us the most. That is also being exhibited in Krishna's relationship with Prajavasis. Krishna says, if Gopa say, Krishna you eat, they will not eat. Krishna Balaram will not eat. If they say that Krishna we are hungry, then they will start searching for food. Right? Krishna loves us the most and we love Krishna the most. Right? Whether we understand it or not, whether we act on the platform or not, but that is the truth. Right? So this Brajavas, this Gopas are acting on that platform. Right? Yashodamai is churning butter. In Damodar Leela, she just keeps Krishna aside. She was giving milk to Krishna, but she keeps Krishna aside and goes and still connected to Krishna also. That is the second half of our theme. Right? And another, we'll discuss more examples. The Dvijapatnis also, they rejected their husbands, their family members, just to feel Krishna Balaram. Right? So nothing, no other relationship or no other object of this material world is more important for them than Krishna. They're acting on that platform. Right? And Brahma Mohan Lila is such a great example for this concept. Krishna came in the form of their own sons. All the gopas and gopis loved Krishna much more than, loved their sons much more than any other time. Right? And in fact, all the gopis and gopas, they were desiring that, oh, Yashoda Mai got this opportunity to be the mother of Krishna. We should also could have got that opportunity. I will also have decorated Krishna, fed Krishna butter, this and that. So they were feeling like that. To reciprocate with their affection, Krishna expanded in the form of their own sons and had the Vatsalya Prem with them, Vatsalya reciprocation with them. And even when their sons were with them, they were loving Krishna more than their own sons. All the cows, even when their calves were with them, they were loving Krishna more than their calves. In Brahma Mohan Lila, when Brahma stole all the cows, calves and gopas, Krishna came in the form of a calf. Generally, Goswami devotees may know better. A cow gives milk to younger calf than the older calf, right? So, but these cows are giving milk to this older calf and they are neglecting their younger calves. Right? Because the older calf is Krishna. Right? So they gave birth to newer calves in that 1 year period, but they were choosing to feed this Krishna calf than their own sons. So it's natural for every living entity to love Krishna the most. So all these Rajavasis are acting on the platform of loving Krishna more than anything else, more than their own selves. Right? So in Kalya pastime, all these Kalya, Krishna just jumps into the Kalya lake and Kalya just binds Krishna with his coils. Then all the Rajavasis see some dangerous omens. Right? There are some inauspicious signs which are seen in their bodies. Their left leg is, you know, vibrating. All those things are seen. So whenever something, some inauspicious signs we see, an ordinary conditioned soul will become conscious of his own welfare. Oh, something inauspicious is going to happen to me, or to my family, or to my business, or anything connected to me. But when these Vrajavasis saw the inauspicious omens, they immediately felt, oh, Krishna must be in danger. Something inauspicious must be happening to Krishna. Krishna went to the forest with the cows without Balram. There must be something inauspicious happening to him. So they immediately became conscious of that, and just following his footprints, they just ran to the bank of Yamuna, where they saw Krishna being born by the coils of Kalya. So naturally, they are acting on the natural constitutional position of every living entity. Right? We are forgetful of that. Now, let's see this. Loving Krishna doesn't stop there. If somebody loves Krishna, he loves other things, many other things which are connected to Krishna also. Right? Just we discussed about this Damodar Leela, where Yashoda Mai kept Krishna aside and took care of the milk. Because that milk is connected to Krishna. That milk had the opportunity, that milk can be utilized to serve Krishna. So just in the name of loving Krishna or serving Krishna, if we are insensitive to things that are connected to Krishna, or people that are connected to Krishna, or Krishna's various energies, that is not appreciated. That is not pure. The other day, in the Prerna class, Maharaj was giving these three world views. Right? A karmi person, materialistic person, is concerned only about his own sense gratification. I am happily living. I don't mind what happens to Krishna's energies. Mayavadi, I just want to get out of this material world. I don't care what will happen here. Right? But a devotee is Vaishnava. Way of understanding things is, he identifies everything as property of Krishna and protect it and Krishna and pushing aside or being insensitive to other things which are connected to Krishna, which can be potentially be utilized in the service of Krishna, it's maybe it's hard, too harsh to say, but we have to say it's hypocrisy. It's my own. Right? So the conclusion is Krishna is our only friend and object of love, but other things which are connected to Krishna, we need to have a healthy relationship with him also. But there's one thing. There should be a healthy fear of entanglement also. Just because every object is connected to Krishna, just because every person is connected to Krishna, we can't just immaturely endeavor to develop a relationship with that object. Right? Because we are conditioned souls, there is some, when we deal with matter, when we deal with some of Krishna's energies, there is always a scope of getting entangled. Right? We should know where we are, and we should develop, we don't have the ability to engage everything in service of Krishna. Right? There is some limited scope within us. So, yesterday we were discussing here, in the description of Vaikuntha. There, I just say the principle only, that when somebody is rejecting an object which could be a source of his sense gratification, it's fine. When somebody is not rejecting an object, but he is utilizing it in Krishna's service, that is also okay. In both ways, he is progressing in sadhana only. Because by rejecting an object, which may be potentially be utilized in Krishna's service, but he is perceiving it as a source of his distraction to his devotional service, that's why he is not associating with that object. So he is conscious of Maya, cautious of Maya there. And other time, we may be engaging such an object in Krishna's service, although it has a scope to give us sense gratification, but we are careful enough to engage in Krishna service. Then we are being conscious of Krishna. Being cautious of Maya is required, being conscious of Krishna is also required. Right? When to do what? That comes with maturity and with guidance of some senior practitioners, senior devotees. So like that. So we may not be able to engage everything in service to Krishna. We may not be able to develop relationship with each and every object or person in this material world because they have connection with Krishna, but we need to identify their connection with Krishna, at least. Right? So that is the vision of a Mahabharata. Let's see one quote from Krishna book. Prabhupada writes that nothing is attractive if it is not connected to Krishna. If some objects, karta or water, wood or anything is attracting us, because it has a connection with Krishna, that's why it is attracting us. Without being an expansion of Krishna, nothing can be attractive. Whatever is attractive within the cosmic manifestation is due to Krishna. Krishna is therefore the reservoir of all pleasure. The active principle of everything is Krishna. And highly elevated transcendentalists see everything in connection with Him. This is the vision of the Mahabharata, highly elevated soul. They can see everything in connection to Krishna. Right? Vidyavane, Sampanya, Brahmane, Gavastani is a vision of not an ordinary soul. We can't imitate that behavior. So that is the vision of a Mahabharata devotee. So the original unmanifested form of material nature is the source of all material things. And the source of even that subtle material nature is Krishna. Right? All the objects that we are seeing, the source of that is this material nature. But Krishna is the source of the material nature. So our dearness is actually to Krishna, not with any other thing. Just because different things are connected to Krishna, we are becoming dear to them or they are becoming dear to us. That's the thing. So when somebody has this kind of vision, Mahabhagavat devotee's vision, Samasritaya Padapallavapalavo Mahatpadam Punya Yashomurare Bhavambudir Vatsa Padam Param Padam 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 Yaddi Padam Nadesha. When somebody has this vision of seeing everything in connection with Krishna, he is not living in this material world. He has this Vaikuntha consciousness. He knows that his goal is Parampadam, the Vaikuntha Dham, right? And even if he is living in this material world is no longer like a Bhavam Bhuti. It's no more an ocean infested with several sharks. It becomes the calf's hoof print, right? Which one can easily cross. Right? For those who have accepted the boat of the lotus feet of Murari, who is the shelter of cosmic manifestation, the ocean of material world is like connection with everything with Krishna. So, the conclusion is that it is Krishna whom we love, and it is whom we love the most, and it is Krishna who loves us the most. Right? And eventually we need to come to this understanding and try to act on this platform. Right? So that's the end. So, therefore, it's because it is only Krishna's energy, many things are getting better. We are attracted to many things. So, how do we arrive at this conclusion? Is by hearing. Right? Aham sarvasya prabhu matva sarvam pravartate. If we hear the statements of Bhagavad Gita, if we hear the verses of Bhagavatam from a bona fide person, right, from an acharya, then we will get this understanding. Otherwise, we will be attracted to so many things of this material world. Right? A conditioned soul can get attracted to several hundreds and thousands of objects of this material world, but fail to recognize their connection with Krishna. That connection comes only through hearing from bona fide sources and bona fide scriptures. There is no supreme controller other than Krishna. Krishna is saying, Aham sarvasya prabhu matva sarvam pravartate. Who can be a supreme controller? Only Krishna can be supreme controller. One who understands Krishna in such a way, from a bona fide spiritual master, with references from Vedic literature, engages all his